I work on two different campuses at my school. Junior high and high school. I have a desk at both places. A designated place that is Mr. Byers' desk. The one at the junior high has all of my stuff. It's decorated the way I want it to be. Bunch of hedgehogs. I know that's weird, but it's a thing. And the one at the high school, well, it's just kind of there. The computer is broken. The kids use a lot. The desk itself is broken. It has my nameplate on it. But, I don't really use it. Mainly because I only have one set of stuff. So in the centralized location where I'm going to use it the most, I'm going to have it at the junior high. That means that anything that is required to be moved to be used at the high school has to be moved over there every day and then moved back for me to use it at the junior high again. Rarely is there a day that goes by where I get out to my truck and I don't stop, turn around, go back inside because I forgot something. In fact, just now, I get told often if my head wasn't attached, it wasn't screwed on, I'd forget it. I'd forgotten I need a microphone. I don't really need a microphone, but I need a microphone here. Come down here and during the, everybody stood up, came down here and got it real fast. Then the batteries are dead. Just my luck. We can all be forgetful sometimes. And the thing is that there's one thing that we can't forget. Because if we do, we're in very serious trouble. And I think you already know where I'm going. It's forgetting God. You might think, I could never forget God. After all, look what he's done for all of us. Well, let's look in Deuteronomy real quick. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read about the Israelites. And of course, we all know this story about how they forgot. And God had given them everything. And I do mean everything. God had set for them in Deuteronomy chapter 1, looking in verse 5, let's look at there. He had set for them a destination. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, looking at verse 5, starting there. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain the law, saying, the Lord our God said to us in Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arba and the hill country and the lowland and in the Negev and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in, take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. He had built them as a great nation in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. He had freed them from their servitude and was now setting their destination. Here is that promise that I have given to you. Go there now. And he dedicated them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, there was a dedication. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all of your might. And with these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall walk and shall talk of them whenever you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Some Jews even took this so literally that they would actually write on ribbons words of God and bind their hands and arms with them. That they still today will take tiny boxes. They will write verses, put them inside the tiny box and tie it to where it hangs between their eyes on their forehead. They were dedicated to God, and they received this dedication to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your might. They were even given direction back in Deuteronomy chapter 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we look just at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. And when we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me, and for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. The Lord God gave them a direction to travel. Here we see something very short term, but he did tell them where to go. He gave them direction. He led them through. And he gave them another promise. If we look down to verse 24 in this same chapter, chapter 2, starting in verse 24, it says, "Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley to Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sidon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear the report of you and tremble and be in anguish because of you." Is there someone going to stand in your way? God said, no, they're not, because I have delivered them to your hand. God provided them a way to wage war against anybody that would stand against them. And finally, they were given one more thing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 11, he says, "Now take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today." Jump down to verse 14. "Then your heart will be lifted up, you will forget the Lord your and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Jump down to verse 18. "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it was this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish." What all had God done for them? He had given them everything, even down to food and water. And he warns them. He gives them a discipline, the commandments that he gave them, that they are to keep that, and they were not to forget. But they forgot. A very specific instance in Psalm chapter 78. Turn there if you would. Psalm chapter 78. Looking in verse 9. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 9, we read about the Ephraimites. "The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They didn't keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with all the fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness, gave them to drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and cursed waters to flow down like rivers." But they forgot. What about Psalm 106? Psalm 106, turn there. Psalm 106, and we look at verse 13. Psalm 106, and we look starting in verse 13. "But they soon," let me say that again, "they soon forgot his works. They didn't wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness. They put God to test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. They forgot. What happens to those who forget God? Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. Verse 17. It says that the wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. What is the pathway to destruction? It's the pathway of forgetfulness. The pathway that forgets God. You might think, well, we're here now. We haven't forgotten God. We're here now. We study His Word. We've come to this place. You know, I was watching a video recently. A man who did a doctoral study about atheism. He is a theologist. I really enjoy his videos. He goes to the deep dives, and it's a bunch of nerdy stuff, okay? But he was talking about there is a sect of atheism which is full of Christians, full of believers. And he calls this little block on his little diagram practical atheists. They may believe that God exists, but they sure act as if God doesn't. Staying in Psalm for just a moment longer, Psalm chapter 10, let's look at verse 4. Of course, we understand what the atheist is, and Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4 really tells us. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Jump down to verse 11. And as he says in his heart, God is forgotten. He has hidden his face. He'll never see it. Here's someone who may used to believe. Or someone who maybe does believe, but God's not paying any attention. Psalm chapter 71. Psalm chapter 71. Then we're going to jump into the New Testament. We're going to leave the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 71, and we look at verse 15. It says there in Psalm chapter 71, starting in verse 15, it says, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come. I will remind them of your righteous, yours alone. That's someone who is right with God. But is it all about the mouth? We can tell people about righteous things, and that's a good thing to do. We can tell people about God, and we should do that. We were talking about that this morning with Randy's speech. But let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Turning to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, and we look at verse 14. In Matthew chapter 5, we're looking at verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's a wonderful thing, but I want to look at this in the other way. The practical atheist is the one who hides his light. He said, Jesus says here, who does that? There's a lot of people who do. I have the light of God right here. I'm not really letting it shine, though. Matthew chapter 26. Turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 26. Jumping to the other end of Matthew here. Matthew chapter 26. We look at verse 69. We read about Peter denying Jesus. Peter was standing outside, verse 69, Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Peter was standing outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said, you are also with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. He again denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. And then he began to invoke a curse of himself to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Didn't matter that he believed in Jesus. Didn't matter at all. He wasn't willing to stand up for Jesus. Now, what about matters of government, matters of society? Do we hide ourselves away? We forget God when we do that. Whenever we don't voice the opinion of God in that. When we don't lead forward with what God's will is. We shirk away. We hide it. Why? Because it's not favorable. Nobody wants that. We wear his name and we do our duty, but we're not fully committed in our heart. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we look starting in verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, looking in verses 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 8 and 9. It says that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Sometimes, maybe we don't read our Bible. We just do whatever the guy up here says. That's not good. We should know what our duty is. We should know how to rightly divide the word of truth and to do it correctly. Because we can honor God with our lips, but he says, their heart, it's nowhere near me. We forget God and we put ourselves in the place of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. In Ephesians chapter 4, and we look at the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It says there that they were darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. You know, we sometimes forget God whenever we don't study, whenever we don't look for meanings in the scriptures. Whenever we come, we just sit in a pew, we listen to a sermon, we sing a few songs, and we leave. We don't think about it. We don't ponder upon it. We don't apply it to our life. I taught an English class one time. It's the most miserable experience of my life. Any English teachers in here, I don't envy your job. You are amazing to me. Okay? Because many of the kids, you would teach them the concept. They would understand the concept. They'd regurgitate the concept back to me. Okay, great. Now apply it to this thing that's going to be required for the test. They completely lose it. They don't apply. Do we remember to apply these things to our life? You know, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy, we look at chapter 3. It says there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will become times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, holy, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure than of lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, he says. It's really easy to say, oh, look at this group of folks over here. They're following a person rather than the scriptures. Or look at this group of folks over here. They're following their own desires rather than a person. Thing is that, are we doing the same thing? Are we following our own desires rather than the Word of God? Because sometimes other gods will receive our devotion and our attention over God. Sometimes we'll forget God completely for an idol. Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 if you would. In Romans chapter 1, and we look starting in verse 18, it says there, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has been shown to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God and give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things." I really enjoy prayer before mealtime. We've been training Taylan to do that, to learn how to give thanks to God. I encourage you to do it. Of course, there's no requirement, but it's certainly a good thing. It's certainly a good thing to focus our mind on what's important. Why? Because all things do come from God. I once enjoyed listening to a man on the radio, and he always started his program that he had talents on loan from God. The rest of the program would have been questionable, but I agreed with him on that. We all have everything on loan from God, and sometimes we think about, I made this, this is mine. Or, I went out and did that, and all the fruits of that labor are mine, and I did that, or we did that, or this company did that. And we forget God, and the God becomes now the talent, or the money, or the company. God becomes the work. Gods receive our devotion and our attention, and we start forgetting to give thanks to God. We start forgetting to come to church because I've got to do these things. Because I have work. Because I have responsibilities. I was at a congregation one time, and a couple of gentlemen came in and they sat down after the services had started. That's fine. Sometimes we're late. I get it. But about halfway through the sermon, they got up, walked to the front. I didn't know what to do. They put their money in the collection plate, and they left. And I thought, that's strange. And I asked about it afterwards. I said, oh, they do that every week. They just don't have time. Really? Looks like the other gods have won. Looks like the other gods have won. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 21. Very plainly says this: little children, keep yourself from idols. We can't forget God. And notice he says, little children. Do you know how hard it is to get a 7-year-old to remember to do something? Slightly manic look on my face here. Anybody who's raised children understands that we have to constantly remind children. They have to constantly be in routine. They have to constantly be reminded so they don't forget, so they don't go off onto their own ways. Notice, he's talking to Christians here, and he calls them little children. Keep yourself from idols. We have to be reminded. That's important. And we have to know that it can be a failing. We have to have time for him. We can't forget about him. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we look starting in verse 11. In Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11, it says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. He's saying that there is an urgency here. That we have to make sure that we are on top of this. We cannot forget God because we never know when the end will come. We come to church. And outside, we still prefer one another. That's a King James Version word, to prefer one another, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. I like that translation. We enjoy being with each other. We make time for each other. We help each other because we're not forgetting God. You know, probably the biggest thing, if we say we're forgetting God, and I've saved this one to last, is that sometimes we completely disregard the authority of the Son. Let's turn, if we would, to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus very plainly says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All of it. We can't go in and change the word. We can't go in and, you know, tweak it and play with it and make it the way we want it to be. I think someone mentioned in the class, in the auditorium class this morning, that there were 250-something English versions of the Bible. One of them I know of is the Queen James Version. You want to talk about crazy. They literally go in and they manually change every reference to any kind of sexual perversion. That's ignoring the authority that Jesus has been given. That's ignoring the authority of the Bible. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, not to me, not to us, not to any human on earth. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6, if you would turn there. In Luke chapter 6, and we look at verse 46, it says there, Jesus is questioning, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? There's a gentleman at a gas station I stop by far too often. They have these wonderful little things called tornadoes. I love them. I eat them up. But he calls me boss. One day I said, I'm not your boss. You don't do what I tell you to do. All that it is I pay you for a service to feed me these little tornado things that are full of cheese. We call a boss because we do what they ask of us. Now they do pay us, I hope. But we recognize their authority over us. We submit to them. It's the same thing with Jesus. We submit to his authority. We call him Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, turn there if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we look at starting in verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 22. And it says there, and he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who's our head? Who's the head of the church? Who's our authority? Who controls us? It's the head. It's Christ. So the thing is that, have we forgotten God? After all, God set for us a destination as well. That destination is heaven. He's given a dedication. Baptism. Being into the church. Washing our sins away. He's given us a direction to travel, living a life as directed by the Bible. And the thing is that just as the Israelites, they could destroy any enemy that they come across if God was on their side. It's the same way with us. There's no sin that has authority over you. Only what you choose to submit to. Because sin has absolutely no power. Because we have a discipline that God has given us. He's given us the church. He's given us the ability to repent. He's given us the entire completed Word of God. He's given us all that we need. All we got to do is don't forget Him. Have you forgotten God? We have the ability to turn back. You have the ability to come back to God or to come to Him for the first time. And as I said a moment ago, there is an urgency to it because we never know. If you feel that now is the time, don't waste it. Come forward right now while we sing.